The Leafs signed Michael Hutchinson today.
Yeah.
2-year deal. It's a two-way contract. And immediately people are like, wait a minute, why? You know, you got Freddie, you've got Jack Campbell, you signed Aaron Dell.
Right.
Now you got Hutchinson. But I guess it comes down to the fact that you've got insurance in case Dell gets acquired via waivers if you try to bury him. And he applies as the guy that you can put up for the Seattle expansion draft, right?
Exactly.
Which I think is a smart move, too.
And
that's pretty smart.
I think it's a smart move on all fronts. You're familiar with him. You know he's a good person. You know that he can give you, you know, emergency minutes if possible. But he's fourth on your depth chart. You're right. If Dell gets plucked on waivers, then you're not scrambling like we saw a couple of years ago where they lost two goalies.
Right.
And then, you know, the other thing, too, is this is going to be somewhat of a shortened season. The AHL was going to be a sprint, too. Let's say it starts in February like they're projecting. So it's, you know, you've got veteran guys and you've got depth at that position. You're expecting Freddie to take a good chunk of the games. I would hope that Jack Campbell's going to push him for games. Dell is a guy that in case there's an injury and in case of something else, Michael Hutchinson can be there. And all it's going to cost you is money.
Yeah,
and the
exactly.
Leafs have plenty
of
that.
If everything works out, with all due respect to Hutchinson, you're not going to see him play, and that's fine. It's here for a variety of purposes. And joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
Not very much.
No?
You?
No, yeah, well, just, you know.
We're debuting a new game today.
I hear that, but it's in the hour past me, so it's like, I don't know.
We can't see the name
buddy.
Of it.
There's a lot of anticipation for this. It's really, it's a game-changing creative idea.
Well, I'm sure it's a lot of thought went into a lot of the detail of it.
Absolutely.
A ton.
You know it, Ray. That sounded genuine, too. I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot.
Yeah, that's my, when I read that, I'm like, somebody's flying on the seat of their pants here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know it, buddy. Yeah,
it'll be good. I might have to stick around and wait.
It's going to be a wild scene. It's going to be a wild scene. And, we were talking about the Hutchinson signing, which, you know, I guess it, for me, you know, it has more to do with Seattle than anything else. Like insurance, of course. Like he can legitimately give you a game here or there. You don't want him to be your guy. But it's the first of that
nature.
Well,
they made that clear last year.
Yeah, exactly. And to his credit, he got picked up by Colorado. He played some big games in the bubble. And it wasn't
great. And did play well for them. He played well for them in the playoffs to a point.
Yeah, as much as you can expect.
That was it.
You know, he is what he is. Michael Hutchinson is what he is. But it's more the Seattle creativity that I like here, that it's kind of almost a loophole. Like, we're going to give you a 2-year deal. You're a pro. So you'll qualify, and we don't have to worry about losing anybody.
Yeah,
like, that's a pretty smart play.
They've all got this recent experience of what they had to do for Vegas. Remember the summer before Vegas came in, and goalies were getting signed. You can go back and check like crazy to these 2-year deals. Calgary, I think, signed Tom McCollum, who was a Detroit first rounder that never made it. He was in the minors. And Calgary signed him to a 2-year deal because he qualified to be their goalie that they left exposed. And there had to be 6 or 8 of those deals that summer. And this is just another one of them. It's, you know, it's tidying up business on the back end and getting themselves ready for next summer's expansion. I mean, really, that's the second part of it. The first part is whether Dell gets claimed on waivers or not.
Yeah, I don't think there's a massive market for Dell. To be honest,
somebody gets hurt in camp, Jamie, they might have to, right?
You're right.
They've covered their own backside on it.
I agree. I think there's no downside to this move whatsoever from the Leafs. If anything, it's a smart move. It's proactive. They're never going to get caught with their pants down like they did a couple of years ago when they had the double waiver pickup.
And what do you mean? It was Pickard and who?
And
McElhinney.
Oh, McElhinney, that's right.
How could you see both guys? Like, McElhinney was a legitimate conversation. Who was picking up, Pickard? And it was Philly, I think, that did it. But that must have been shocking to them.
Well, Philly had an injury. That's just basically to the point of Ray just said, if Aaron Dell gets picked up, it's probably due an injury. Because I believe Philly had two injuries. It was like
Neuwirth and somebody else.
Neuwirth and Elliott, both of them went
down. Didn't he have 7 guys that year?
Yeah. That's why, remember, like, Hexie was fighting to not have Carter Hart come up. That's basically what, you know, was a big part of, you know, the fight there in Philly was Carter Hart was kicking around there, and they were like, and Hexie wanted him to grow, which was the smart move. And, the, you know, Hexie's obviously understands the position and didn't want to throw him to the Wolves in Philly.
And so, but I'll tell you, there must have been a few surprised people today when that PR blurb came out.
Yeah,
that Hutchinson had signed, right? And people were like, "What? What's this all about?"
Oh yeah, big time. We started the show talking about this news out of Ontario and the Ontario Hockey League, and it's not confirmed yet. And my impression is, just reading the tea leaves, that the OHL is pushing back on the idea that there will not be body contact allowed, but the Minister of Sport, Lisa McLeod, has said this on countless occasions in the past and reiterated this today, that if the O is going to return in early February, it will be without body contact. And my initial reaction is it's an absolutely outrageous call. But as the conversation continued, you know, I took a step back and said, let's hear more on how you classify body contact, right? Like the women's game, there's a lot of body contact. It's not open ice hits, but they battle for pucks. They battle in front. There's battles. But I haven't heard what this means. So our imaginations are running wild here. Like, what does this mean, no body contact? I don't like it. I don't think it's fair to the players. I think if you're going to play, then play the game. But what do you make of this potential situation? It's not locked in yet, but the OHL and junior hockey players returning and without body contact.
Well, I think it's a lot like a lot of different measures in a lot of places, is that it seems to be, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense given what else is around that decision. So you're not going to allow body contact. Where are the players going to sit
when they're not on the ice? Right beside each other on the bench. Exactly.
Right. And so is anybody going to be spitting? Or
yes.
Is anyone going to be coughing? Or so if I run into O in the corner, which that would be a mistake. I mean, I don't want to body check anybody. But anyway, if I run into O, like, how long are we in proximity for? How long does if one of us is infected, does the virus stay in the air that the other person can be infected? Yet they're going to allow a scrum in the corner where guys or players are inches apart, you know, digging and scrapping and clawing for a puck. And that's okay?
Right. We had Peter King on earlier, and he said that the quick bursts of, like, contact are not how this thing is transmitted. This is, you have to be around someone for a duration of, I don't know how long, Brian, did he say? Like,
well, he used the
NFL
example.
He said it wasn't
example.
quick outbursts.
Yeah, he said that when Tennessee had that outbreak, they had just played Minnesota, and there were no positive tests with Minnesota. Yet, day after day, there were more and more positives popping up in Tennessee. And he said the science that the NFL has been studying and accepting is that these quick outbursts, in other words, a lineman running into each other for a second or two and then separating for a minute or two, is not leading to the spread of the virus. And that's the issue that we all took earlier, Ray, is like, where is the science? Because they right. issued they noted what's been happening in the Quebec League, that there's been outbreaks in Quebec. But no one, to my knowledge, I haven't seen anyone suggest or anyone be able to prove that COVID was spreading because of body contact during the games.
No, or was it a bunch of guys in the locker room?
Exactly. So,
or sitting next to each other on the bench. Like, first of all, how would you even determine that?
Well, I don't think you can.
No, but that's my point. So you're taking an almost like a visual and saying, see, we're doing our best to prevent the spread. Yet this doesn't make any sense, and obviously the four of us are as far from a science degree as you're going to get.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem to make sense. Noodles, you use the term all the time, you know, the common sense thing.
Right.
And this doesn't seem to have common sense to it. It's like two guys running into each other. If that's what's being disallowed, yet the scrums are allowed, and, you know, like in the corner when the puck's not frozen, and the guys are sitting next to each other on the bench, and Doesn't that seem more likely? That's where it would kind of...
It's a hero move, Ray. Spread? It's not because this person is a woman and she's making a decision on hockey. And I'm not saying a woman shouldn't be doing this or making the call in hockey. It seems like a hero move where she wants to make a statement that's just not... I don't know. It's not applicable to what's going on. And I think it's a joke, to be honest with you.
Well, in my mind, the moves like this potential move are... it's not grandstanding, but in a sense, it's a political grandstand.
That's what I thought.
As opposed to basing it through some science. If they had some science that said, hey, this is how the virus can get spread, and it's by two guys' body contact, and then you'd go, well, okay,
that's
then
right.
They either have
but
no
there
body
isn't
contact.
That. That's right.
Yeah, right. But so then you could say, okay, well, then either you have a league with no body contact or not. Mm, but
right.
That doesn't seem... that it would be the case. It seems like we're doing what we can. And I don't know if this even makes any sense, at least not to me.
No, it doesn't to me whatsoever. You know, right. And I know there's going to be people that will react and say, hey, whatever, everyone's got to make sacrifices. Yeah, okay, but that's not the point here. There's no science to prove that body contact is going to be the issue. And, you know, it's either black or white for me. You either play or you don't play. And if you right. don't play, that would suck, but I could understand it. Wouldn't be the first time that something has fallen due to COVID over the past 8 months. We've all become pretty accustomed to that. You know, we're going to go through it tomorrow. Halloween's going to be very different. A lot of people just are not going to do it. If they came out and said, you know what, we don't feel safe as a government allowing the OHL to be played, okay, that would suck. It would be awful, but we could all gather the information and understand where they're coming from. But if you're going to play, play. Like,
right.
play the game and take the measures outside of the game. You know, take the measures when it comes to practicing, when it comes to, you know, like I said earlier, showering, maybe you need two buses to hit the road for distance, you know, whatever it is. There's a number of things that I could see them putting into place that I could be like, that feels like they're hedging their bets and trying to make it as safe as possible. But when the puck right. drops and you've all accepted that we're going to play, play. Because you're going to come in contact with players anyway. You know, you're going to battle for pucks. You've got to chase the puck around.
Yeah, but even in this, like, it's, right, it's a confined box. By accident, you're going to run into somebody.
Right.
You are, but, like, Ray, you pointed it out earlier. Like, guys sitting beside each other, sweating everywhere, spitting on the floor. You guys drink water, even if you have your own water bottle. Everyone would drink, spit on the floor. Like, there's naturally going to be crossover. I get it. Like, guys are going to try and be mindful of it, but you're talking about 16 to 20 year old guys. Like, it's not, that's, you're putting a lot of responsibility on guys who we've all been there. There's not a ton of responsibility running through those rooms, if you know what I mean.
But Noodles, what about this though? So, like, say, I don't know, the Leafs are playing. Like, how many guys are going to remember not to spit? Like, your mouth.
Baseball said
dry,
they weren't
going to
spit,
like,
and they were spitting every second.
Right. Like, you'd go, yeah, I can't do that. And then you'd spit, and you'd go, oh, I can't do that. And then, like, 3 minutes later, it's not that it's habit. It's like, it just is. Like, there's, I don't know. I don't see this as a grand protector of people.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty cautious about this stuff, or pretty anxious about this. And that's just my view. Yet, I don't see how body contact and allowing all the stuff we've talked about would make the game any safer.
Right. If you're going to the measure of getting there, getting dressed, playing, dropping the puck, you know, to stop there, just it doesn't make a lot of sense. But
No. We'll
see. It's not confirmed yet. It's not a lock yet. You know, they're not supposed to play until early February anyway. And it's led to people asking about the World Juniors, but I think the juniors are going to be played the way they're always played. You know, there's not going to be restrictions. Players and everyone in the bubble are going to be tested and then drop the puck and you play the real game, right?
Yeah, the eight teams from Europe are coming on three charters. Teams will get to Canada. They'll have to undergo some testing. I'm not exactly sure... all, you know, what the exact detail is, but, you know, for us to enter the bubble, we have to be quarantined and tested. And so that's far different than what they're talking about in the Ontario League or the Quebec League or the Western League. but there's no restriction on the play.
Right. Which is, again, the way it should be. And I'm so excited for that tournament. And Craig was saying on SportsCenter and on TSN.ca, I guess the list of players available for Canada is like lights out. And might be a bit of a disadvantage because they won't be playing like they have been in the past, or not every player will be playing, certainly not Ontario kids. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I want to play this audio.
Well, I mean, their top three centers very easily could be Kirby Dach, who was awesome in Chicago, and Dylan Cousins, who had a terrific tournament last year, and Quinton Byfield. Those might be their top three centermen.
That's not bad.
Yeah, you could do worse than that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good team, I would say. And I think Bowen Byram's going to be back, and
Jamie Drysdale.
Drysdale's going to be back, so your defense.
McMichael will be back.
There you go.
I think there's seven of them that have potential. And I think, guys, I might have counted wrong or heard this wrong. I think there's like 28 first-round draft picks at the camp.
Mm-hmm. 26, I believe, yeah.
Is it? So just think there's going to be some of those guys, probably quite a few, that don't make it.
Well, I know Lafreniere. Is he just like, I've done this, I'm New York Rangers, I'm hotshot, I'm not doing
I think they've left the door for him open a bit. But he has done it. He has done it twice, right? Or he did it last year, rather, and was the best player in the tournament. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess if the NHL is going to start or have some kind of camps going by, you know, or skates for that matter, maybe they feel like he's best just to get started.
Well, and I'm always of the other side, too. To your point, Ray, he's been fantastic the last couple of years, but do you want to risk an injury? Like, you're just about to start your career in the NHL. Like, I know that's such a small, you know, minority of a chance, but it's 2 weeks, and it could be something that, I don't know, maybe that's in the back of his mind, or maybe the Rangers have said, you know what, we'll give you the option to go if you want to or not, and he's chosen that.
He's playing, too. That's the difference. Like, Byfield's not playing in L.A. I don't get the impression. Like, the expectation is Byfield will go back to junior if it's happening, but Lafreniere is playing in New York.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, I think it's also that separates him from the group as well. Although I would assume Kirby Dach was probably going to play, too, but... maybe that was Chicago saying we believe this should be the case. You should go,
right?
And maybe New York doesn't necessarily share the same view. But also the door is still open, as you said, Ray. Walker Buehler from the Dodgers was doing an interview with SportsCenter, and you guys, I'm sure, at different points in your career have had to speak on behalf of other players, right? Or have been posed questions. Hey, your teammate did this. You know, can we get your response? Which is the worst spot to be in if you're a teammate, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, how am I supposed to handle this, especially if it's something, you know, somewhat egregious. So Buehler goes through this whole spiel, goes through the whole interview, and then at the end they bring up Justin Turner. And he's doing this via FaceTime, and this is what happened on ESPN earlier today.
You guys have been waiting for this moment your entire life to celebrate afterwards. That's understandable. But during a pandemic, what was your reaction when Turner came back out on the field to celebrate and at times not wearing a mask? Unfortunately, we lost the connection there.
There goes the connection.
He just hung up.
Yeah, like, it was just out of nowhere. It's like, oh, the connection dropped. Right when we stopped talking about how much fun it's been to be a World Series winner.
Good for him.
But that's tough, isn't it? Because they all know it's coming, right? Like, it was like with the Houston stuff. When they showed up to camp, it's like, be ready. Because the media's coming, and they're humming fastballs.
Dude, it's
going
to be the first thing they got to answer that when they get to spring training, whatever that may be. That's the first thing.
And remember, Houston, they all had... I forget the line, but all the guys had the same, we're sorry for the mistake we made, or something. It was a very rehearsed, talked about thing. I forget what the line was, but man, the Dodgers aren't, I mean, they're going to be talking about Justin Turner for, you know, until the next pitch. But, you know, A.J. Hinch got hired today, the manager in Houston.
Right.
And so the ball will roll on. It's, I can't believe Major League Baseball let him back on the field. Like, I was like, well, I can't believe that.
It really is a truly amazing moment in time when you consider all of the protocols everything that went into the season, how many times it felt like they were just starting to fall off the cliff. Like, baseball's done. Yeah. The Cardinals had played five games where the rest of the league had played like 20 at one point. And then you get to the finish line, and you allow it to blow up in your face. A positive test.
How lucky
test
are
the
they
have
ended in six?
That's a good question, though. If Tampa was up big in six, he wouldn't be running back out on the field. He'd just be out.
That's
you
true.
Know, they actually, that might have benefited baseball. They wouldn't have this embarrassment because Turner would have left the field, you presume. But, yeah.
Well, they came in up on two wheels and they left on two wheels. Like that. Yep. Somehow they got to the end, but they didn't ever inspire confidence, that's for sure.
No, they didn't. All right, buddy. Well, you're out of here for a bit. We asked you for your Masters pick yesterday. You slept on it last night. Do you have anyone in mind in a couple of weeks? And do you think your boy Tiger is still going to be kicking around?
No, I don't think Tiger's going to be in it. Matthew Wolf and DeChambeau.
Ooh, good
DeChambeau,
picks.
DeChambeau, eh? You think so?
Well, why not? Like the crazy part is the guy can putt too, because you can't win there if you can't putt.
Right.
And, you know, we're all kind of just mesmerized by how far he hits the thing. But, yeah, I think he could.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a heavy favorite. He will be. He'll be a top five pick out of Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
DeChambeau, he has
I
to be.
I think he'll be the number one favorite.
He probably should after what he did at Winged Foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a different course, clearly. It's not nearly as tough to play. But we've been talking about this for a while, like how he's going to – he's just going to cut the course in half. You know, like the par five second, he's going to just take on that corner.
Oh, he'll have a wedge in his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can hit it anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah. Every par five, he's going to have maybe a 9-iron in.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he's like a scientist. Like, he's going to go up there.
He
and
is.
Like,
he said, I want numbers. If it's no numbers, I don't want to deal with it. He is
like
he is
dissect
a
it. Like, dissect it. Like, there's no there's no guessing with him. It's all like, hey, I've broken it down. I need to do this. And if I execute it the ball's going to absolutely go
and
right
you
there.
You guys
perfectly.
Remember what's going to happen on top of 15 with his caddy at the Masters. This is when his caddy's going to quit. He is going to say to Timmy, get on all fours and let one rip. Because I want to know the density of the air, Timmy. And Timmy's going to walk off Augusta National.
Yeah, he'll be carrying his own bag. And then he's probably going to ask Duffy on 18 to help him out. James
Timmy,
would run in there.
Let one rip for me.
Yeah.
Jimmy's going to have, you know, usually Jimmy tries to wear those, those little medium golf shirts, so he looks like he's got, you know, he's pretty buff. But now he's going to have to wear long sleeve because it can be a little cooler.
Yeah, he won't. He'll show the pipes at Augusta.
Do you think he'll have his wrist brace on just in case they ask him to play or something?
Oh, he'll have his clubs. That bus they're taking down there.
No, he won't. They can't leave the cottage or whatever.
He'll find a way.
Yeah, he's probably
I'd be disappointed if he didn't. But, we'll see. That's still a couple weeks out. Well, actually, less than that. I mean, it's Masters week in like 10 days.
It's the 5th, right? It starts the 5th.
Yeah, it's going to be outstanding. All right, buddy. Well, enjoy it. We'll catch up with you a couple weeks down the line, and hopefully we'll have some answers on the hockey season and a schedule, although I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
Yeah, no, chances are we'll be talking about going to a movie or something.
Yeah. Well, we'll make it compelling, or as compelling as that is.
It worked. It's one. Honestly, I got to tell you, that segment a couple of days ago, I've not gotten more texts in a long time about how much fun that was.
There's been a lot of feedback on that. Most of it positive.
I did a radio interview on it. They played sound, and we're like, would you like to respond to this? I'm like, what?
No, that's where you just hang up.
Hang up. Like, oh, no, O brought up a great point. Like, I'm like, it is true. I think every person has been there. Every guy every person who's been on a date has done that.
Well, and you know what sound you hear when the girl says, oops, I forgot something and I've got to come back to the car?
Yes.
This is the sound you hear when you're in the driver's seat.
When she flags you down and says, stop. Stop, my purse is on the floor. You just turn the other way. Because that car is a lethal weapon.
Yes, it is. It is registered with the government. What's happening in that?
Yeah, it is a traveling bomb.
Yeah. Anyway, buddy, we'll leave it there. Good stuff as always. We'll do it again down the road.
Okay, guys. Be well. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% in free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October. MapleToyota.com. Yeah, I'll mail
Ray,
it to you. I'll mail it to you.
Did you hear Ray sit on like a bag of chips or something?
Yeah,
am I the only one that heard that?
I heard something. I didn't know what
Steve,
that
Steve, let's
sound
hear this
was.
Nonsense.
Like I said earlier, showering, when it, maybe you need two buses to hit the road to, for distance. You know, whatever. Yeah. There's a number of things that I could see them.
Just it was just a weird. I didn't know what it was. It rattled me.
Yeah,
I think he.
It did sound like a bag of chips or something he was opening. But what's your
It is around it is around the time of Halloween here, where those little mini bags of chips.
Brutal gift, by the way. The plain little mini bag of chips that are plain. That's a brutal Halloween trick or treat.
I don't.
I don't mind that. I don't have
plain?
A problem with a chip.
What?
I love a chip. I love
it. Well, if it's Doritos or like Cheetos or something, you're talking just plain Lay's.
I just thought it was a greasy move when you go to the house and they put in a little plain bag of Lay's chips.
No, it's a mix-up, man. Everyone does the chocolate. Everyone's got Kit Kat and, you know, all the different options.
You know why I don't mind it? But I think you double down. You give the chip and chocolate. Like, that's where I think you got to be generous these days.
I was doing this stuff in. I'm not getting the double down with the bag of chips and the candy.
That's the thing. Like, now you see, you talk to people, they're like, yeah, we give up, like, full-size
bars.
Full
bars.
I never once in my life had that growing up. I don't remember a house. I don't remember someone showing up at school saying, hey, did you hit that house that was doing it? Never. It was always like one.
That's a 2020 thing.
Yeah, that's new era for sure.
Well, who knows? Exactly. Some of the neighborhoods I've lived in Etobicoke, they give you the whole box with the full bars in it.
Yeah. Here's a present. You get a present. Yeah.
Dude, rough. There were some neighborhoods in Etobicoke. They like come parents have a cocktail, like the drinks for the parents.
Yeah.
Well, that's
full
impressive.
Full nine.
That I kind of like that idea. I mean, that's camaraderie, right? You're building up the community.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, the whole neighborly type of routine. I don't think that's going to happen this year, clearly. But
No. I don't know if people are going out.
I think people will be going out. I can't speak for, like, Toronto and downtown and stuff, and Peel and Ottawa, like the three stage two regions or whatever. But throughout the rest, like, you're telling me people in Thunder Bay aren't going Halloween?
Dude,
like,
people are going to do what they do. People are saying to themselves, and unfortunately, Brian, you're one of these people. This has been a tough stretch for me and my family. I'm not denying my kids of Halloween. Therefore, you're going to have a full Halloween, and the numbers are going to go up, and all you people are going to say, I don't understand how this happened.
No. Where's the science behind that? Give me the science behind that.
Has there not been, after Thanksgiving weekend, the numbers seem to
go
up?
Yes, that's because people are sitting around the table having dinner for 2 hours. That I totally get. You know, walking up quickly one at a time and having something dropped in a bag and leaving when you're in a mask, I haven't seen anyone be able to prove that that is going to lead to some massive surge of COVID throughout the world.
But I just think it's a bunch of people congregating and being around each other. That's all I think. But I'll say I told you so when the numbers go up.
Well, you know what I think is going to happen? Like, if you're telling me, again, there aren't going to be Halloween parties for teenagers and college kids and stuff, you're crazy.
Of course,
like you're
going to be like, we're not when
they're
all
doing
of us
it.
Were hockey players. Halloween parties were the greatest parties on earth.
Absolutely,
they were.
You go down and parade around, you know, London, Ontario, University of Western Ontario. You go to Guelph, go to Queens, go to anywhere. There's going to be Halloween parties happening everywhere. And will there be potential issues there? Absolutely.